Hello and welcome everybody to episode 21 of the Crick Picks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me is Estelle Vasudevan, who you can find at Estelle underscore Vasudev, the number one on Twitter. And of course, Jared Kimber is with us as always. You can find literally everywhere at A Jared Kimber. And well, this is a podcast in which we take any random cricket category and we draft our top five for it. And we do that via a snake style draft. So how that works is we go... The order goes 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. And the topic for today is, most iconic or best bowling actions ever. It's bowling actions. The topic is just bowling actions. We can choose to go whatever direction with it. And I get to have first pick for this one. And I think if I have to pick my favorite bowling action of all time, which is also kind of iconic, if you think about it, I'm going to go Jimmy Anderson. Very, very fluid. I've tried to replicate it at times, the way he kind of does that thing over here, and it just happens so smoothly. I've never been able to replicate it, by the way. But also, the artistry that he portrays or displays after he delivers the ball also adds to the magic. But, when I look at Jimmy bowl, it is one of my favorite sights in cricket. In fact, my first ever game that I covered in cricket from the ground was Rawalpindi when England toured Pakistan after a long time. And Jimmy Anderson was bowling on day two, because on day one, I think England scored 500. But that was one of my... That is definitely one of the moments of my career, because I could not believe it, because cricket hadn't come to Pakistan for so long and I was watching Jimmy Anderson in the flesh. It was a special moment for me and it is probably my favorite bowling action of all time. And yeah, poetry in motion, really, from start
to end. Do you remember when we were warming up for this and I said there was no wrong answers in this one?
That this is a wrong answer?
Somehow at number one, you've got Jimmy Anderson. At number one.
Yeah, well, it's a subjective sort of thing. And
it is subjective, but like of all the players, I can't think of a player who's going to be less remembered for his bowling action than Jimmy Anderson is.
Really? I do think that he has a really good-looking bowling action. And it evolved over time. The bowling action that Jimmy has now wasn't as fluid back in the day.
Estelle, I don't know what to do with this.
You guys are going to be surprised with my picks.
I can't add anything here.
All right, Estelle, you're up next then.
I will surprise add something. Us. I don't know if you guys saw, there was a video going around of Ricky Ponting's son bowling to Rahul Tevatia on socials. And he kind of has Jimmy Anderson's action, at least from the back. So maybe you have a look at that.
Person ever to copy his action.
Yeah, basically the best action ever, according to me, is Ricky Ponting's son.
Okay, so I'm going in slightly different direction than Behram. I'm going to go with like iconic ones, and there's nothing more iconic than Murali's, right?
Oh no! I'd already written Malinga into the spot because I was positive you were going to go Malinga. Damn.
That was my guess for Estelle as well, because Malinga, I mean, iconic.
I picked him number one in a lot of these episodes, haven't I? Yeah. He is on my list, but I don't think there is no... Malinga's one has obviously been replicated, and he's not the first slinger to bowl, right, in world cricket. But Murali's was so unique. I don't know, maybe Jared can tell us whether there was someone from the earlier eras who bowled like him, but, you know.
Murali's the first bowler to bowl. So most bowlers bowl with the front of their wrist or the side of their wrist facing the bowler. He's the first one with the back of the wrist, 100%. So even wrist spinners who bowled wrong-uns all the time, they would still start with the hand in another direction and then turn it. So he basically inverted bowling. And there was one guy in England, wasn't there, and one guy in Sri Lanka who copied him, and they weren't. And their actions just weren't legal, and it didn't work for them. So yeah, he's the most distinct bowling action that we've probably ever seen.
And a bowling action that everyone would replicate when they'd be playing tape ball cricket. By the way, I remember that.
Yeah, in my I remember 1996. That's all we would do in the change room was all try and bowl like Murali. And the one guy who got it right, we just thought was a god.
Yeah, and the thing with him is like you spoke about the two players who tried to replicate the action, right? Like one was Tarendu Kaushal and he kept being called for chucking. I think Murali's thing was that he had this little abnormality in his elbow, right? That allowed his arm to turn in a particular direction. Not just the action, I think. With him, it's the entire thing, right? The run-up from side on. And his expression when he releases the ball. All of that kind of... it. When you're trying to replicate it or imitate him, you're looking at like 4 or 5 different things that you have to copy.
Mm. Yeah.
So we've got best bowling actions ever. How much is run up involved?
I think it's a part of it, right? No, and you could choose someone just based on run up as well.
Yeah. No. I just wondered because like everyone's going to be different when they look at that sort of stuff. You know, I think that's quite interesting. Okay. Well, I'm going to go Lasith Malinga then. Because yes, there had been slingers before. I don't think there'd really been slingers of that type before. And he's inspired a bunch of clones as well. And it is the thing I like about Malinga is if you play club cricket long enough, you always came. I had a guy in our team that bowled in a similar way. And like, you always came up against that kind of bowler. To think of a club bowler or a beach bowler get to the international level and dominate, I think is absolutely incredible. And this is best bowling actions, but it's also, I think there's an element of most iconic bowling actions. Malinga is going to be remembered as a great bowler, but a great bowler with that bowling action, right? And I think that's a really, really important one. And then just to take him off the board, Paul Adams is my next pick here because you can't copy what he does. So he took Murali's thing to a whole different level. You know, I've talked to Paul a little bit and he, you know, it's incredible. Paul didn't realize he was bowling the way he was. And I find that just absolutely beautiful of someone who didn't really know what he was doing. There's a famous artist. I think Vish might've written an article a few years ago about an artist who painted Paul Adams, and people worked out exactly. I think Vish might've been the one who worked out that's what was happening, that there was this thing. But that we're talking about someone who hasn't really bowled professionally in 20 years and people are still thinking about that action and what it was. And, you know, the fact that it was called frog in a blender, the fact that also he inverted himself really, because most left arm wrist spinners spin the ball in and he was almost more like a left arm finger spinner. And it was so bizarre. And, you know, because I'm a little bit older than you, I was there when he was first bowling and we couldn't believe it. I remember the energy in the commentary box before he bowled in, it must have been Australia-South Africa test, of he's going to come on soon. And, you know, even with Malinga, when he came through, I don't remember, there was an excitement with Malinga, but it was a general excitement. He's going to bowl really fast and he's going to bowl Yorkers and he had this weird action. It was Paul Adams was like, you're never going to see anything like this before and you're never going to see anything like this again. And it's completely right. So I think if it is actions, I think it absolutely has to be there. But if you remember, he also had a really weird first step with the way he came in. Like he had proper eccentric spin bowler energy all the way through this.
Yeah, I see what direction you all are going with. Estella's gone for iconic. You've gone for freak actions. I've gone for actions that I like.
I've got some others as well. But I just figured if I could take those two off the board, you guys have to pick Jimmy Anderson type bowlers and you'll lose.
Just on Malinga though. I think as far as slingers go, he is the most iconic slinger of all time. And I've actually tried to bowl like Malinga and failed, although I do come close, but my release point isn't as low on the sling as Malinga's. And I think he just made sling bowling sexy. And he also had the hair and the Yorkers to complement it. So he was going to be my next pick, but I think everyone was going to pick Malinga at some point. And Paul Adams, again, when you think of left arm wrist spin, like, he is the freakiest action of all time, isn't he?
Definitely.
Yeah, funny thing about both of them, actually. So Malinga, obviously, you guys have seen Pathirana and Antushara. But I think there have been a number of guys in the Sri Lankan domestic circuit who come up after that with that action. There's even a left armer who bowls with that type of action. So obviously, something that a lot of people copy. And even Paul Adams, there is a cricketer called Kevin Kottigoda who played some T10 cricket. Very, very similar action to Paul Adams.
Yeah, he's got a weird one, doesn't he?
Yeah. So I guess Sri Lankans like to emulate a bit of those iconic actions.
Not just Sri Lankans. I've seen so many slingers after Malinga, right? Like even Zaman Khan in Pakistan does kind of the same thing.
Well, I think slingers always existed.
Yeah.
And I think the difference is no one ever thought it would work at the top level. And I think that's what Malinga did. He paved the way. Because, you know, Fidel Edwards is a slinger. It's a different kind of slinging. And Eddie Gilbert, the famous Indigenous bowler, he apparently was very slingy. So I do think it existed. But because it doesn't get any extra bounce, I think everyone just thought it was a useless one. And now we start to look at it and we're like, oh, okay, no, this can really work. And now we know even more that it works specifically for T20 cricket at the end of the games.
Yeah, and I think maybe it comes through playing softball cricket, right? Because like Nuwan Tushara says that he didn't really emulate Malinga's action, but he kind of started off going square arm and then, you know, things progressed from there once he saw Malinga and stuff. So that's an interesting one about the about that type of action. Anyway, I'm
next,
but
it's a beach action, isn't it? Yeah, you're up. Stop trying to give yourself more time.
So I went for an iconic one to start off. My second one's going to be Alan Donald.
White Lightning.
The White Lightning and the whole run-up and his little leap in the air and the aim he took with the ball, all of that. I think, I mean, obviously these picks are subjective, right? And growing up in the 90s, those are the kind of bowlers who you love to watch, just the excitement he brought to the game as well. The quickest bowler of that era, right? So everything about his action, I think, was superb. Just, I remember as kids trying to kind of copy the way he used to take aim before releasing. That's my number two pick.
I think it was a genuinely exciting run-up. Do you know what I mean? When you were watching him run up, because he was running so fast. Mm-hmm. You know, Mark Wood is probably a modern bowler you can compare to him, right? Where you just like, he's running so fast, but he's more in control than Mark Wood, right? And there was something poetic about it. And, you know, Brett Lee, which I'm sure Estelle will pick at picks 4 and 5, but Brett Lee was similar, but it just wasn't as sexy as Alan Donald's version, right? And there was something just really, really sexy about the way that he went about it. I think that's a much better pick than Jimmy Anderson.
All right, I've got two now, is it?
Yep.
Okay, these are going to be less controversial picks, I think.
Mark Elam Chris Harris.
Not them. My pick number two is going to be Shane Bond. I love that bowling action and just the run-up as well. He would kind of, you know, instill fear in the batters just running towards them. And then when he would put all of his body's weight like this behind his head, I think that was very unique. Like, we've seen a few bowlers similar to that or bowl with an action similar to that, like Matt Henry comes to mind, but nothing quite compares to Shane Bond and the ferocity with which he bowled and just his whole body language as well. Like, you could just feel like a thunderbolt was about to come your way, right? And unfortunately, a career cut short by injury. But at his peak, watching Shane Bourne deliver an over was theater. It was cinema, right? That's just how good he was. And it didn't even honestly matter at times how well the ball actually was delivered. It's just that the bowling action was just so majestic to watch. And I mean, I hail from Pakistan. We always get a hard-on for fast bowlers over here anyway. And Shane Bourne was someone who I felt like, you know, should have been born Pakistani, if anything, because he had all of those elements. And I really feel a bit disappointed that we didn't get to see more of him, because love to watch that guy ball.
I think that's an interesting pick. But I think if you saw him in his peak, I can understand why that would, that, you know, anyone who saw him bowl in his peak, it didn't look like other bowlers, right? Like, there was something, I don't know, more visceral, more violent about the way he bowled. And then, of course, the fact he could bowl 95 miles an hour and move the ball around. He could have been the best bowler in the world. And unfortunately, we never saw the best of him.
Hmm. Also, both of his hands went behind his head, right? That is a unique thing. We often see one hand go behind the head, but it felt like he would take the entire weight of his body right over there, lock it, and then just kind of deliver, I don't even know, a lightning bolt or whatever. But my third pick is going to be late career Wasim Akram, not the early one. And that is because he did not have a big run-up. It was a smallish run-up. And then there was a very beautiful kind of leap towards the end. He would lock his wrist, left-hand wrist, up over there. And it was just very, poetic to watch as well. Of course, much like Jimmy with Wasim, what the ball did afterwards also kind of plays a role over here. And he was a bit of a wizard in that regard. And late career Wasim, who didn't really rely on pace, relied on all of his other skills, and he was a real artist at that, an absolute magician. So I was a very, very young boy when I would watch Wasim Akram bowl, and I think that's the first thing I remember of cricket ever, right? And it was a bowling action that everyone in Pakistan was just trying to replicate. And I think as far as left arm seamers go, it was quite unique in the sense that he didn't quite launch the ball like a Mitch Stark or a Shaheen Afridi, right? It was a bit different. It was more, you know, it had a lot of guile in it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what you guys think of that, but that is still one of my favorite actions of all time.
Cricket 8 brings you this show. They are a new player in the game trying to educate fans on what is really happening in cricket. Head over for their watch-alongs, podcasts, and articles on what is happening on the field and why it matters. Cricket 8 is your place for cricket intelligence.
I think you can call it iconic, right? Like, if you think of a left-arm bowler, at least people from our generation are going to think of that action from Wasim.
Yeah, it has to be. What about you, Jared? You're awfully silent on this one.
Yeah, no, he was on my list. I kind of love the way he bowled because I love the fact that he sometimes come out of a shorter run. So I think he didn't even know what his own run up was, and the chaos that sort of gave. But I don't think it's actually what modern bowlers should be doing, sometimes coming in off 8 steps, sometimes coming off of 25 steps. There's only two seam bowling actions I ever really copied, and his was one of them. I was right arm, obviously, but I loved bowling with his action. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I think that's a very strong, if you'd gone number one with that, we wouldn't be laughing at you as much, and you could have picked Jimmy Anderson at any number you wanted then.
True. I guess that one just came out because it is my favorite bowling action of all time. So I don't know.
No, yeah, anyway, you could have picked Anderson at 5 for you.
I didn't know it was that unpopular either. I thought a lot of people would have liked Jimmy Anderson's action.
No, I think Wasim Akram definitely deserves to be on this list. I think it's you know, beautiful, iconic. It's different enough from everyone else's. And you don't see a lot of bowlers bowl with that kind of action, and even now. I loved it. I my personal favorite is when he was covering the ball.
Yeah.
Off short run, 12 steps, covering the ball. I thought that was peak Wasim Akram.
And the hair flying, of course.
Yes.
In the distinct Wasim way.
And the aeroplane when he gets the wicket, right?
Yeah.
Well, that was Shoaib more so.
It wasn't. No, had plenty Wasim of airplanes.
Yeah. Different kind of airplane.
Have you got another one?
Anyway, Estelle, you're up next?
That's
me. Estelle's up next.
So I'm going with another Pakistani. Might be a bit of a left field pick. Mushtaq Ahmed. Leg spin.
Funny looking bowling action.
Funny. It's a beautiful looking. He looks like a magic pixie. Yeah. You guys haven't seen me bowl. Just so you know, my bowling action is actually copied off Mushtaq Ahmed.
Wow.
Okay. Now I feel bad.
It's changed a bit over the years. Because he was jumping and he was bouncing and he looked like he was having fun. Like I said, it's like a magic pixie. That was beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah, I remember when I was playing cricket and, you know, coaches would always talk about, you know, being steady and stable and, you know, when you're coming into bowl, and he was the complete opposite, like you said, right? Like so much movement in that action. But really something that sticks in your mind.
It's an action you never forget, for sure. And definitely unique for a leg spinner, 100%.
Oh, okay. Well, that's so annoying that you took. Yeah, you've actually, two of the three bowlers that I bowl like when I'm playing cricket, you've already taken, and I haven't got any of them yet, which is a real pain in the butt. I will go Jeff Thompson next. So I don't know how much either of you have watched of Jeff Thompson, but obviously, as far as bowling fast, you know, no one's ever been faster than other bowlers in their era, or as fast, that much faster, I should say, than other bowlers in their era as Jeff Thompson was, right? So he's not the fastest bowler of all time. I'm sure modern bowlers have gone on to be quicker than him, but they are marginally faster than other bowlers in their era. And he was massively faster than anyone else. And it was like a human catapult. You'll watch the athleticism of him bowling and the way that his body unfurled. And, you know, I've met Jeff Thompson. He's not a particularly nice person. He didn't go on to have a particularly great career or anything. Like, I mean, he had a very good career, but, you know, he didn't, compared to Wasim Akram or Jimmy Anderson, you know, he's not that level of bowler. But sorry, everyone. That was Mothra. If you look at, if you just look at him, the physicality of that bowling action. And the other thing I like to go back to what we were talking about before is no one else has managed to be a human catapult since Geoff Thompson, right? That action doesn't really exist. I think there was an Aussie rules footballer who would bowl like Geoff Thompson. And there's like a couple of his sons, I think, were the other ones who did it. But I've always thought that was really interesting. We perfected pace in one bowling action and then no one else ever tried to do it ever again. So I find that a fascinating thing that no one ever did it, but it's the unfurling, the photos of him at full stretch. It's just one of the most beautiful sights we've ever seen in cricket. And also there's a touch of like, almost like a javelin throw about the way he came in as well. Like it was a staccato run, just absolutely brilliant. And again, just to add to it, the hair. Right? These things do matter sometimes.
Definitely do. I've heard a lot about Geoff Thompson and how he was quicker than any other bowler in his time. And just the unique action as well, the catapult. It's something that my uncles who would watch cricket at that time always, you know, when we were kids, they would tell us about that story. So he's definitely, you know, made it to generations who haven't watched him in the flesh.
Yeah. I'm not sure where to go next. I am going to go with Curtly Ambrose next. So Curtly Ambrose was the other bowler that I imitated in the backyard when I was young. There's something about the prancing hands that he would come in with. The wristbands, the swapping the ball between the hands, all these different things that he had. I think it was just captivating for me as a kid. I don't know how much it holds up now, but it's still, when I think of fast bowling, I think it's of Curtly Ambrose's bowling action that I kind of think of first. And I think he was absolutely, it was a dramatic bowling action. And then of course, just little things as well. We don't know what his wingspan was or what his release height was, but my guess is he was probably one of the first bowlers to fully maximize his height. And that's why every single ball bounced up at your throat, no matter where he pitched it. So technically it was probably brilliant. And then I thought it was poetic in the way that he came in. There was something kind of great about it. And also because he didn't sledge or anything like that, all you ever got was the bowling action and then the facial expressions. And then he went back to the next ball. There's something about the entire drama of Curtly Ambrose, which I just found absolutely captivating.
He could give you the crazy eyes, right? Not quite Ishant Sharma level, but definitely the crazy eyes.
Okay, so Jared, I was going to go with Curtly Ambrose actually next. So.
Oh, no.
Good, because you guys have been picking all my favorite bowlers. So.
Okay, I've got next. Yeah, so I'm going with another South African. This might be a Jimmy Anderson type pick, I think. I'm going with Rabada. I think he's got a really smooth action. It's really something. I feel like it maximizes his body, right? The way he bowls, and it's like a proper smooth action. Also, the fact that it obviously generates some pace and he's done well over the last few years also helps. I don't know if it falls under the same category as iconic as we've been picking, but I think one of the better actions you can see nowadays.
I'm all for it, even though I'm not a big fan, but I love the fact that you've gone for something that you like.
I don't have an issue with it. I think, again...
Is it better than Anderson, though?
Well, the thing with Anderson is, and Bayram sort of skipped this, I think the most interesting thing about Anderson is after he's bowled the ball that he kind of collapses completely and can't see. I think that's a really interesting part, and yet Bayram actually skipped the only interesting thing about it. Whereas I think Rabada is probably more there's an energy in his run-up and his bowling that I find really enjoyable to watch. So I would have Rabada higher. I don't know if I'd have either of them on my list, but this is like all these lists are subjective, but this is like so subjective on what you like. If you like it, I think that's fine. Unless you pick it as number one, then it doesn't make any sense.
You just had one pick over here. Do I have two now?
Yeah. Yeah, you have.
Okay, now I'm really confused because I have so many players on my list and I just don't know what direction to go with. I'm going to go with a minimalist sort of action. I'm going to go Shane Keith Warne because though it was as simple as you could ever think, it is a bowling action that all of us have tried. And when you think of wrist spin, right arm wrist spin bowling, that's the action that comes to your mind. When you see a graphic of a cartoon bowling that delivery, it's Shane Warne's action. And it was just so smooth, so easy on the eye, so simple, right? So minimalistic that I felt like that on its own made it so iconic. And his results and success kind of attributes to, you know, how great he was. But also I felt like he could bowl so many variations with that same bowling action that no one could really ever pick him. So I think it would be unfair if Warne didn't make this list. Even though there are a lot more interesting actions out there, but just the
easiness. From a leg spinner's perspective, it is an interesting action because we've never had another leg spinner bowl anything like that before. Mm. And the reason is he's so much stronger than everyone else. Mm. So if you look at Richie Beno or Tiger Bill O'Reilly or Chandra or, Anil Kumble or Mushtaq Ahmed, Abdul Qadir, and you could have a lot of those guys on this list. Mm. We could do a whole list on just best actions of leg spin. But you look at all those, there's an energy that they have coming in, whether it's hopping up and down like Mushtaq or, you know, Tiger came in and sort of ran in a little bit more like a seamer. And Chuck Fleetwood-Smith ran pretty much like a seamer. And, you know, Richie Beno and Chandra. So Chandra copied Richie Beno. They both had longer, steadier run-ups, right? Warne just came in and wanged it, right? Like he really is almost like the Tomo of leg spinners. And it's because he was twice as strong as any of the other guys. And so he could do it. And it's I thought, and I've written this before, I think his action ruined leg spin. Because everyone started bowling like that and no one was as strong as him. And so I do think it's an iconic, and you know, I think it's Gideon Haig wrote a book called On Warne. And in it, I remember I was saying to him, what can you write about Warne that hasn't been written? He said, the one thing that people have never covered really brilliantly is his run-up. Mm. And he did a whole chapter on the physicality of his run-up and all that sort of stuff. And you think back to it, and he's right. Like that was actually the drama started almost before he did it, when he was, you know, tossing the ball to himself or he was flicking the ground or whatever it may be, or the pretend thing where he would tell someone to move a foot one side or another. It was from that moment onwards, he was in complete control. And every single one of us, like modern cricket fans, won't understand what it was like. From the moment he was at the top of that mark, you couldn't look away until the ball had been delivered. Right, that we haven't really like Murali is a more interesting action. Murali wasn't like that, right? And fast bowlers aren't like that in general. Whereas I think Warne was the guy that was like, he's got the ball at the top of his mark. He's already interesting, and he will be interesting now until he gets a wicket or someone hits him for four, and that is unlike anyone else. And the action was so different to every other wrist spinner that I think it still qualifies as an iconic action and an enjoyable action. So it could have gone way higher. It's just that I have a personal bias against the action because I think it ruined leg spin forever.
Yeah, it looks so easy on the eye and you feel like this is what the default action should be for leg spin. But it's interesting how you mentioned it's ruined a leg spin for a lot of players, right? Whilst they've tried to copy it. So that's a very interesting paradigm because someone who doesn't follow cricket and watches it for the first time, if they watch Warne bowl, they think like, oh, that's how leg spin would be bowled, right?
Yeah.
But maybe he's made it mainstream because we've watched so much of him, right?
And but again, to go back to the Geoff Thompson thing and the Murali thing, there ain't no one else who's done it since, right? No one else has been a successful leg spinner walking in with a couple of paces and then just ripping the ball. Everyone else, like Rashid Khan, has a proper run-up. Imran Tahir has a proper run-up, you know. Anil Kumble, you know, Yasir Shah, all these guys who've been successful have had run-ups. And so you go to club cricket and there's still a lot of guys coming in trying to bowl leg spin off two steps. And it's like, it ain't going to work for you. You are not Shane Warne.
All right, then I feel great about my pick after all of this discourse. Last one.
That's who you should have gone with for number one.
One, yeah.
I'm confused.
In fact, all of your picks would have been number one, except for the one you actually went for number one. I would have even given you Bond as number one.
Fair enough. All right. I mean, we'll let the people decide. Maybe we find a lot of Jimmy Anderson fans in the comments who are like, what are Jared and Estelle talking about? Jimmy Anderson has a beautiful action.
Wait, sorry. One second. Ah! You're off. She bit me. Well, not in a good place. We'll leave it there.
All right. Edit this out, Ishit.
It might be the best part of the video.
All right. For my last pick, I am confused between a contemporary Pakistani pacer who I really like and then an iconic action. I think I have to go for the iconic action just to do justice to the show. So I'm going to go Shoaib Akhtar. And just the thumping run up, you know, ready to, you know, wreak havoc. All hell is about to be broken loose. And just the way he kind of just locked just slightly towards his right and then just completely extended his, like, you know, shoulder. Even the hyperextension thing came into play. And it was like he would also unleash all of the might and hell that he had stored in his body. And he also wanted to hurt you. He was that kind of fast bowler who would tell you before the ball was being bowled that, hey, I'm going to bounce you. Like, that's that. There's that famous story with Brett Lee in which he says, Bing, I'm going to kill you. And Brett Lee's like scared and he then bowls a Yorker. So Shoaib, and you know, that big thumpy run up as well and extremely long run up. I've actually watched Shoaib Akhtar, the hair as well. I've watched him bowl live in a cricket stadium and he is like behind the advertisement, you know, that you see on the ground. That's where he balls from. And it's like close to the boundary, honestly. And it was just one of those things that when you would be watching it in the stadium, everyone would go, whoa, you know, in the build up to his run up. That was like an experience on its own. And I was a young cricket fan. So I would be excited to go watch Pakistan play just for that and that alone. And I think just the action on its own, right? Just it didn't like do much. It wasn't particularly fancy. It was just very straightforward in which he would just lock and then completely take his arm back and, you know, deliver it right the way through. And you felt like it was taking every ounce of energy out of Shoaib. That was the thing with him. And then the airplane celebration after that as well, whenever he would get a wicket. But yeah, I think that I wanted to go Naseem Shah because I really love that bowling action. I love how his hand goes at the back and then his front arm kind of comes like this, cutting through the air. And I think in current cricket, Jimmy Anderson and Naseem Shah are my favorite bowling actions. But just for the sake of the show, I felt like I had to go Shoaib over Naseem.
Yeah, he was high on my list as well. Yeah. I just hadn't quite got to him yet. I think I had him fifth, actually. So he probably would have been my next pick. I went to a counter game once. So he got signed up by Surrey at one stage. He got paid a fortune to come and play two games. And we were at the Oval. And there was like 1,000 people at the Oval. And he was kind of finished by this point, but he was still Shoaib Akhtar. And he was fielding at square leg, or sort of fine leg, but backward square leg. And he looked around and the physio wasn't anywhere there. So we got the groundsman to come on and stretch him. And this poor groundsman's like, what? And he's like, just do this. And like, this guy's like, okay. And like, and he's like, no, you got to do it this way. And it was hilarious. And then instead of walking to the umpire to bowl, he walked all the way around the boundary because the Oval's quite, it's got really long square boundaries, right? But it's quite short straight. And he walked around the boundary and then basically came in from the boundary to bowl. And it's still one of my favorite, the whole moment of watching him, and he was right in front of us and, you know, we were chatting to him and everything because there's no one there. We were fielding right behind him. We were right behind where he was fielding. And, but it's just, it was completely iconic what he did, that the hair, the action, the run up. You know, I talked about Mark Wood and Donald, you know, Shoaib Akhtar's another one of these guys who just actually runs in, you know, we call it a run up, but it's not a run up for everyone. Right. And these are legitimate people who came in, and were absolutely, you know, remarkable from that point of view. So, I certainly think, he deserves to be there as well.
Yeah. I had him in my list as well. I think his action really added to that fear factor, right? Some of these bowlers, they bowl quick, but it's not really reflected in the action per se. But like Shoaib Akhtar, you knew he's going to bowl fast. You could tell he's going to bowl fast and he's looking to hurt you. And, you know, you could tell that from the way he ran in, right?
He had fear, like he had that look in his eyes as well. Mm. Like, I want to kill you. You know, that was Shoaib Akhtar. And he was very unapologetic about it, right? He was someone who was very comfortable in his own skin. And whilst at times that is problematic, I like the fact that he was just very genuine and true to whatever he is.
Okay.
All right, Estelle, you have your last pick? Yeah.
Yeah. My last one I'm not going for Brett Lee.
I don't know why Jared has shat on Brett Lee so much. He was a part of my list. I did like the lock and load action.
It was a good action. I'm just saying it wasn't. I'm not having a go at it. I think it was a very, you know, Brett Lee and Chris Woakes are very, like, almost technically perfect actions. And I can see why people would like them. I'm only making fun of Brett Lee because I just thought that's where Estelle was going to go.
But I am picking another Australian, though. Okay. I'm going with Sean Tate. I just felt like of all the guys we picked, he's the one who had the least amount of effort added to his run-up. Everything was about the release, right?
Yeah.
Everything was about, you know, his arm, basically. So it's no surprise that he had lots of injury issues. But I just think, again, it's one of those actions that you kind of remember if someone mentions Sean Tate, right? It's very easy to bring
shoulder, that mind. That shoulder should have been insured. Right? That's how much strength came out of it. And he was such a spectacle to watch live as well. Yeah. And yeah, I think it makes
fiery
sense.
Character as well. And that, yes, again, that fear factor of bowling quick, but also being in your face, right?
Mm. So I have a very different relationship with Sean Tate because his bowling action is really, really common in Australian club cricket, right? Mm. But so is Sean Tate. Sean Tate is the sort of guy that turns up and, like, so I've written about this. I wrote a huge feature on Sean Tate because he is one of my favorite bowlers of all time. And I wrote this huge feature on him. And in it, I talked about, like, being at a cricket game and knowing that you're opening the batting. And then at 5 minutes before the start of play, this guy turns up in this, you know, beat up old Holden, like, music blaring out the top of it. He gets out, he's already in his whites, but his whites don't match, right? You know, his sleeves are a bit too short. He's untucked. He comes out. He's probably got trainers on rather than cricket shoes. He marks a rough run up. And then you take your guard and you turn up and you look behind you. And, like, you, like, do a double take because the slips are so far back. And you think to yourself, how is the ball even going to carry there? And then the first ball comes through and you don't see it. And that is, Sean Tate is a club cricketer who happens to be a phenomenal athlete who can bowl, you know, way quicker than anyone else. I remember him bowling against a former Aussie Rules player once. This Aussie Rules player had said that, you know, being a cricket batter, what you didn't need as much courage as you did being an Aussie Rules player. And they got him to face Sean Tate. And, like, Sean Tate was bowling at, like, three-quarter pace, and this guy was terrified. And this was a proper athlete, the guy with the bat in his hand, and could play cricket. And, you know, suddenly he realized what he had said halfway through. Sean Tate was just incredible. But yeah, he just reminded me of those Aussie cricketers who the shirt wasn't always tucked in. He didn't do push-ups. He didn't do laps of the ground. He wasn't there for training. And he could just come in and bowl really, really fast. And so for me, he's the epitome of that. And look, he was on my list because I love him so much. But yeah, the reason I wrote the big feature on him years ago is because I kind of think people have forgotten what it was like to watch peak Sean Tate. And it wasn't like actor. We got heaps of years of Shob, right? Mm. We didn't get heaps of years of Sean Tate. We only got a couple. And I would say the best spell I ever saw in bowl, probably less than 200,000 people have ever seen that. And that was in a 50-over domestic final against New South Wales, where he takes, I want to say, 7 for 36 with, like, 15 wides or something. And I remember talking to all the batters who faced him, and there's a moment where Phil Jakes is out in the middle. Remember, Phil Jakes ended up averaging 50 in Test cricket. His back went, so we don't know how good he was, but he was a really good player. Phil Jakes, someone comes out to bat, and they're confident. They're going to come out and win the game for New South Wales. And Phil Jakes says to them, "No, this guy's bowling fast." And they're like, "Yeah, we're going to take him down." And Phil Jakes, like, grabs this guy by the arms and goes, "No, no, you've never seen anything like this before." And you don't get many stories like that in cricket, like, you know, and it, everything about, and it was the wild man thing of, he could bowl, like, even Shoaib was accurate compared to Tate, right? Like, Tate could bowl absolutely any ball from a moment to moment. And yeah, I love his action. I don't know if I would put him this high, but I love that it's been mentioned and, you know, from that point of view. Anyway.
Yeah, he was on my long list, but I remember a spell that he bowled against Pakistan in which he was, like, clocking 160 or almost 160, like, regularly. And everyone was like, he's going to break the record, right? And he didn't, but he did bowl the third fastest delivery of all time. And it's just amazing of how, with that bowling action and minimal, you know, run-up or negligible run-up, he could deliver that kind of fierce sort of bowling.
I've got last pick. And I've got a spinner already. Do I want another spinner? No. I am going to go with one of two old West Indians. I'm going to go with Roy Gilchrist, which is not a particularly famous one. And I think a book's just come out about Roy Gilchrist, which I haven't got yet, but I should find the author and get him on a podcast. But Roy Gilchrist, are you guys aware of studs up bowling?
Nope.
Studs up is when you come in for your final step and all the batter can see is the bottom of your spikes. So you're on your back foot and your front foot is so high that they can see the full. It is the most aggressive form of fast bowling. The last guy to do it successfully at the international level was Marchant Dalanga. So he did it briefly and he had to change his action because it's the stupidest action, right? Like, it gets you to bowl really fast, but like physically it takes a huge toll on you. And if you look at pictures of Roy Gilchrist, there's all these photos and all you could see is him leaning all the way back with this huge foot aiming at the batter. And it's incredible sight. And you get like one a generation that comes through that does it. It's really, really rare. I think Patrick Patterson did it a little bit. Marchant Dalanga, obviously. There's another one I'm forgetting as well. And Roy Gilchrist. And Roy Gilchrist was a proper fast bowler in an era when we didn't even think about fast bowlers all that much. He was like a proper mad fast bowler. He went to India and he couldn't bowl bouncers, so he just started bowling beamers. He essentially invented the intentional beamer. Because he was so frustrated that he couldn't get any bounce out of the wicket. Like, he's just nuts from that point of view. Just wanted to bowl as fast as possible. Had many issues off the field and all sorts of things. But Roy Gilchrist was absolutely great. And if you ever get a chance to go to Barbados, there's a cricket museum there. And it's brilliant because there's so many great Bayesian cricketers. And there is a big photo. As you come in, there's a huge photo on the wall. And like, think about it. They've got Sobers and the 3Ws and Jason Holt and all these incredible cricketers that they could pick from. And the big picture as you come in is Roy Gilchrist's foot up in the air. And it tells you how much in Barbados they still talk about that. Absolutely remarkable. So I'm going to go with Roy Gilchrist as my fifth, which will mean that I won't win this competition because I'm the only one who knows about it. But if anyone's ever seen this sort of studs up style of bowling, because there's a lot of guys who are really obsessed with it. And every time, like I get text messages from friends sometimes going, have you seen this guy? I think he's doing studs up. Like, so there's this, like, the smallest nerdish community you would ever know about that cares about that kind of stuff. So I'm going to go Roy Gilchrist there.
All right. I think that finishes our top 15, right?
We're done. Can we go through some great ones that we haven't used?
Yeah. So everyone, I think, because I'm sure all of us have a long list. So why don't we mention those names one by one? All of those cricketers who didn't make it.
Yeah, so I've got Wes Hall. Have you guys ever seen Wes Hall bowl?
Heard the name, never seen it.
So Wes Hall, there's some really good clips of him online. He had this thing with his wrist where it looked like he was like cocking a gun as he would come in. And then as he got to the crease, he would kind of unfurl and you suddenly realize, oh my God, he's massive and he's jumping. And I think I've got it here. Wait, I'm going to have to get away. One sec. This is him at the crease. And that now is a fairly more standard thing that we see over and over again, right? We see lots of players come in and leap at the crease, as Estelle was talking about before. You know, Alan Donald is a perfect example of that. Imran Khan is another beautiful action who did that. Wes Hall's where that started. And we didn't, we had someone like Fred Truman, who also had a beautiful action as well. But this was the first time we started to see fast bowlers sort of run in athletically and jump, and Wes Hall, you can see the limbs are all over the place and his arms in front of his face. Absolutely beautiful. I also love Ryan Harris because he's like a semi-trailer. It's like a truck coming through the crease, right? Like, just absolutely crazy. We have to mention Michael Holding, Whispering Death, who if we were older, he would be automatically on our list. We talked about Mark Wood before. I love Mark Wood. I love someone just running through the crease. Chris Tremlett, I always thought he looked like a transformer when he bowled. I'm going to go with two part-time spinners, Michael Bevan, who I just absolutely, I don't know why. That's the only other action I ever tried, but that was later. It wasn't when I was a kid, but later. Chris Gayle. How about Chris Gayle? What an action that was. Hey, could not have cared less about what was happening. Tim Murta. I love Tim Murta because Tim Murta looks like he has been coached to death by England coaches. you know, young Kemar Roach. I like old Kemar Roach as well, but young Kemar Roach. Mm. I think what Estelle likes in Rabada is what I liked about young Kemar Roach. It just looks so fluent, like he was born to come in and bowl. And then I'm going to go Waqar Yunus because that torso alone, the run in and then the torso, are just like he had like, you know, like the action figures where you could twist the body around. He had that. I absolutely loved it. Plus, again, a proper athlete running in really fast. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, amongst the ones that you mentioned, I had Whispering Death, Michael Holding, Imran Khan and Waqar in my long list. I, of course, have mentioned Naseem Shah, and I want to talk about it again because I'm really disappointed that I couldn't find room for him. But just
Naseem
the way,
Shah and Pat Cummins, I reckon, are two really interesting modern ones.
Just the way Naseem's right hand, his bowling arm, goes behind his head, and at the same time, his left arm kind of cuts through the air. It's just really, really scenic. You know, it is poetry in motion also. And I feel like, you know, hopefully if Pakistan don't run him to the ground, he's got a very bright future ahead of him. Brett Lee also made my long list. In fact, I might have even picked him at some point had Jared not completely, you know, destroyed Brett Lee's action. But the lock and load is something that we all used to try out as kids, right? Especially people of my generation.
I always thought Brett Lee, I said this once, and a cricket fan got really upset with me, but I always thought Brett Lee's action was almost feminine. Like, as in, it was like some businesswoman like cutting through traffic on a train platform. There was something so professional about it and so sharp about it that I really liked it from that point of view. I was more just making fun because I thought Estelle was definitely going to pick him. So I thought the more times I could abuse him, the better. Yeah. But I love that. I also love like someone like Chris Wokes. Chris Wokes just looked like if you were just making a bowling action that to be technically correct, Chris Wokes is almost perfect. And there's something about Brett Lee and Chris Wokes being so technically perfect, as I mentioned before, I think are great.
It was also the jump lock and load, and then also the chainsaw that would follow at times. But just to go some other quick ones, and then Estelle, I'll give you the mic. Abdul Razak was on my list. I thought it was a very interesting looking action. I've never been able to replicate it. I don't know how those hands move, but they look nice. Glenn McGrath was clean, very methodical. And Zaheer Khan, his jump was really attractive. If I didn't pick Wasim, I would have picked Zaheer Khan because out of all the left arm pacers, his was an action I really, really enjoyed. I had Jofra Archer just because of the minimalism factor again. I think just even though science has proven that that action does take a toll on his body, it doesn't. It never seemed like it would, right? That's how.
Well, you've got Shane Bond in your list, so I don't. I think science has proved a couple of these guys shouldn't have bowled the way that they did.
Exactly. Also, I had Shahid Afridi just because every ball was an effort ball. Very interesting leg spinning action, and Steve Harmison. Just because of the thumpy nature of it. It was like a big guy who... It took a lot of effort for him to kind of just get through that run-up. And then both of those hands went up.
That
and
big
it was
double hands,
an interesting-looking action. Well,
just before we get to Estelle's list, there's there's some really good old actions that you could see. So there's Alan Froggy Thompson, who kind of bowled off the wrong foot and had both arms up in the air. Mike Proctor, obviously. Max Walker. So there's a few actions from that era. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen Jack Chantrey bowl, the county cricketer from England, but he's got another absolutely bizarre action as well. So there's a few other freakish actions that we could have mentioned too.
I mean, there's Bumrah that we didn't mention.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bumrah's interesting because it's like a mince. And then it's like he suddenly realizes he's late for a meeting. you know, and then you've got the weird action as well. Yeah, I think Bumrah's is I don't know if Bumrah's is as fun as some of the others, but it might be more effective than a lot of the others.
Yeah, I definitely think the same. I don't enjoy the action as much as I enjoy his wrists, I suppose. And then Sohail Tanveer is another interesting one, right?
I meant to mention him. He was one of the others. So Sohail Tanveer is a windmill bowler. And there's quite windmill bowlers. Chris Silverwood was a windmill bowler, I think, if I remember correctly. There used to be quite a few of those sorts of guys who sort of went up and it was almost like both their arms were coming over at the same time. That has disappeared a little bit from cricket as well. Sorry, Estelle, what was your list?
Yeah, so I was thinking about Bumrah as well. And I think we're going to get a lot of comments about Bumrah, not mentioning Bumrah.
We have mentioned him now, so he's fine.
From the women's side, I thought Shabnim Ismail. If I had not gone for Rabada, I'd probably have gone for Shabnim Ismail. Dale Steyn, Afridi was on my long list as well. Simon Jones was another one. I don't know if he's in the top 15, but he had a really nice action. And also, I don't know, I'm pretty sure Behram won't know of him, but Jared, do you remember Pramodya Wickremasinghe? He had kind
yes.
of... He used to do this weird thing with his arms. That was one of the actions we used to do as kids at home. So another kind of a unique one.
Yeah. Another one I love is Venkatapati Raju. He had the most perfect sort of, it's almost like he had drawn a curve the way that he came around. So I absolutely loved him. The women's action I love the most, and I've forgotten her name, but we mentioned her in a show recently and Hypercourse told us it's, I think, is it Mega Akram, who was a...
Almas Akram,
that's yeah. right. Who she bowled left arm around and she had the most ridiculous pattern in the way that she came around. And we haven't mentioned things like Merv Hughes had a famous mince in his action. And some of the old guys who used to come in from really square, they used to come in from like mid-off and bowl. on those angled run-ups that didn't make any sense. And of course, there's a lot of ridiculous... Like I want to do the 10 most ridiculous spin bowling actions, but you know, Peter Taylor and Greg Matthews instantly come to mind of why are you jumping and hopping? So why would just come in and bowl? There's a lot of those kinds of actions as well. But
yeah,
I'll
don't
go through
laugh
the list.
At me, but Sanat Jayasurya's action was also quite unique, right?
Yeah.
That's another one that was emulated that. A lot, yeah.
Yeah, because he had the floppy hand at one stage, yeah. didn't he?
I used to do imitate Bhaji's action as well because you kind of do that whole thing, right?
No, Bhaji's got another. Yeah. That's what I mean. If you go into spinners, we could do another whole show on the most artistic run-ups for spinners. And I really do think it's an entire Crick Picks on its own. I might end up writing 100,000 words on this one day. Behram went first and he went for Jimmy Anderson, Shane Bond, Wasim Akram, Shane Warne and Shoaib Akhtar. Estelle went second. She went for Murali, Alan Donald, Mushtaq Ahmed, Gigisa Rabada and Sean Tate. And I went for Lasif Malinga, Paul Adams, Jeff Thompson, Curtly Ambrose and Roy Gilchrist. Feel free to tell us how we're wrong and what you like in the comments below. Outside of that first pick, I think this is pretty solid.
Hey, I'm still pretty happy with that first pick. And I have no shame in admitting that even if this is done in the future, I'd probably pick Jimmy Anderson first. But anyway, as Jared mentioned, let us know in the comments who you think won and why we were all terribly wrong not to pick Bumrah. Because, of course, you're going to do that anyway. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And if you like this video, throw us a like on YouTube. Subscribe to both this YouTube channel and Jared's other channel on YouTube. And for all of our written content and podcasts and videos, you can go to goodareas.co. That'll be all from this week. We'll catch you with another episode of Crick Picks next week. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Behram Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recording. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make any content, Minvo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minvo.pro now.